Our first reading this evening comes from the Old Testament, from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. Second reading comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. This ends the reading. You may be seated.
You know, in this day of high technology everything, there are still a lot of folks who send cards the old-fashioned way, by snail mail. Some of you, how many of you still send out Christmas cards by mail? Well, quite a lot of us here. Well, Kel and I kind of give and get a lot of Christmas cards. We have, over in our apartment, we have Christmas cards that we hang up on a wall, and we get to see all the things, and a lot of you here have sent us Christmas cards. We appreciate that. Although some of you, I have to say, some of you send kind of lousy Christmas cards. I'll understand what I mean. I mean, the card was very nice. It had a nice message on the inside. Maybe you even wrote a little note there, very personal, and we enjoy that. And probably a scripture reading, maybe something we just read from Luke chapter 2 was on that card. And on the front of the card was a beautiful picture. Maybe it had a manger scene or angels with shepherds or some other kind of nice Christmassy sort of thing. But on that card, somewhere on that card that you sent us, there was glitter. Oh, can't stand glitter. You know, I'm just going to be blunt with you. This glitter stuff is, we have to put a stop to this. You know, it has a way of getting everywhere. I find it, you know, it makes its way onto my hands. I see it on my clothes. I have found glitter floating in my eggnog. And then for no reason whatsoever, my wife will start to laugh at me, and I don't understand why. She says, go look in the mirror. I look in the mirror, and there's a piece of glitter sparkling from the end of my nose. I don't need that. My wife doesn't need more excuses to make fun of me. So, okay, I'm asking you nicely for future reference. Anytime you send me a card, birthday, Christmas, whatever it is, just please, just don't have glitter on it, okay? Sorry, that was my rant for the night, my pet peeve. That doesn't really fit for Christmas Eve, does it? That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to celebrate our Savior's birth. We are here to focus on this tiny baby, this infant wrapped in swaddling clothes, put in this feeding trough, in this cattle shed out there in the tiny village of Bethlehem. That's what this is about. Because there in that manger lies your eternal future. This is it. The battle that began in the Garden of Eden when sin first came into the world is now going to be waged from that little stable in Bethlehem
and this tiny infant baby. And believe me when I tell you that the battle has not been going well. God has not been winning. In fact, it looks like that we are certain to lose the whole thing. Nothing is working. Nothing is going right. Starting over, having a worldwide flood to kind of have this fresh start, well, that didn't work. Choosing a nation of people, a nation who promised to remain faithful for all times until death do they part, that didn't work. A continuous series of animal sacrifices day after day, century after century, all those animal sacrifices, they didn't work. Look, this baby is our last chance. There are no more options. This baby is the last glimmer of hope. Or maybe, why don't I say the last glitter of hope? Because it's not all that far off. This baby is a tiny sparkle, almost drowned in the darkness, that somehow is going to find its way. It's going to find its way, not just onto your hands or your clothes or even your eggnog, but by the grace of God, it is going to find its way into your heart. Just like glitter does when you have no idea how it got there. Yet God's love for you is that insidious, but in a good way. God does not give up on you. 400, almost 500 years ago, there's a man who was walking through the woods heading home through the newly fallen snow of a winter's night in Germany. You ever done that? You ever been outside for a walk on a cold winter night? The sky was clear, the moon was shining, the air was so cold, so crisp, you could almost crackle it. It just seemed so fresh. Well, that's what he was doing. The air was still, every sound delightfully muffled in the fresh fallen snow that was everywhere he looked. That's what this man was doing, walking home in the winter 500 years ago. The sky was clear, the moon was shining, and as he looked around him, he was all by himself, nothing but the night sky and the shining moon. The moon was shining on the snow that had fallen on the branches and the trees, and it was sparkling. It was making the snow sparkle like glitter, really. And he was just so awestruck. He was just so amazed by what he saw that he was determined that he had to share this experience somehow with his family, with his wife, Katie. Now, Katie was used to a certain amount of eccentricity from her husband, Martin. But even so, she was startled almost to the point of beyond words when he came into the door of their home that night, dragging a tree with him that he had just cut down. He set it up in the parlor of their home, and then, strangest thing of all, he began to attach little candles to the branches of that tree. By now, the children were awake, what with all the commotion of things going on, and they smiled with this amazement as their father lit the candles on the tree one by one, and the room that had been dark took on this such a comforting glow to it. They didn't realize yet, but they had just witnessed the invention of the Christmas tree. And then Martin Luther, by the way, in case you didn't know, He explained why he was doing that. He told his family how he had just been on this walk and seen the beautiful night sky, the moon shining on the snow and the trees, and how he wanted to somehow recreate that. And so he brought the tree home and put the candles in the tree to do that. And it was beautiful, they said. It was wonderful. But he said, well, that's nice, but being beautiful, just looking pretty, that's not really the point, he said. The point was that each of those little flames, each of those little tiny candle flames, each of those glitters of light remind us of the light of the world born at Christmas. There in that manger, so tiny, so small, up against everything else, and yet this tiny baby light would ultimately give rise to a warmth and a brightness that would fill the whole world and that fills us again tonight. His life, the life of this little baby, would seem to be snuffed out just as easily as maybe you pinch out a candle wick. As a grown man, they nailed him to a cross. They pierced his side so that when the blood and the water came out, they knew that the sword had gone right through the heart. He was truly dead. But he would rise 3 days later, igniting the whole world with his grace and forgiveness. And what a flame it has been ever since. What John the Baptizer had prophesied about has come true. He said, he, talking about Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, warm, purifying, enlightening fire. But it all began in a little town, in a tiny cattle shed, in a small manger, in a tiny, tiny speck, a glitter of hope, the Son of God coming to save us, to turn the tide, to win the winless battle. Yes, Jesus is the reason. Jesus is the reason for the season, but you are the reason for Jesus. He's come to save you. So, maybe I should apologize. I feel a little bad about what I said before. I shouldn't have said those nasty things about your glittery Christmas cards. I was kind of a Grinch. Hope you'll forgive me. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still don't want your glitter. But I understand why you like it. Maybe I should try to like it too. Or at least I should try to do a better job in recognizing how those Christmas cards, in those Christmas cards, there's a message with the words on the inside of the card. There's a message with the artwork on the outside of the card. But there's also a message, the message of Christmas, in the glitter, all by itself. That little speck of light that I find all over me. Not only that, but maybe there's something about glitter that I should try to emulate personally too. Maybe God is calling on me to be a little reflection of Jesus in the darkness of the world around me. And maybe, just maybe, if each one of us, if each one of us will be one more glitter, one more glint of light, maybe together as God's church in the world, starting right here in our own community, maybe he can cause us to do some really beautiful things. In fact, let's start tonight. Why not? Let's start tonight. In just a few minutes, you'll get a chance to glitter for a little bit as we light our candles and we sing our Christmas songs. And when we do that, when we have the candles lit and the lights are turned down, I would ask you to do something. Just quietly look around. Just quietly look around and soak it in. Soak in the moment, and as you do, notice how each light by itself is pretty small, but together the whole sanctuary will be glowing. Look, I don't know what's going through your heart tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. For some people, Christmas is the happiest, most joyous time of the year. For some people, Christmas is a somber time, maybe even a sad time, because for some people, this is when they're missing loved ones the most. For others, there are some of you who are simply exhausted. There's been a lot of stuff going on, and now, whether physically, emotionally, spiritually, you're just kind of drained. Maybe it's all of those things kind of coming together. Whatever it is. Whatever it is in your heart right now, my prayer for you is still the same for everyone. May the light of Jesus give you life this Christmas. May the sparkle of his presence gleam within your soul. And may you, I'm going to say it, glitter. May you glitter with the true light of Christ that never fades away. Amen.